standing that went on in our household when my kids were in early elementary. And that understanding went something like this. Dad can't come talk to your class on Community Helper Day. Now, I was a little bummed by that, but, you know, it finally came down to one night Tamara telling me, what are you going to say? Hey, kids, all that junk mail your parents get in their mailbox, that's me. I mean, what exactly are you going to say? Hey, all those ads that pop up on your screen, well, that's me. Years ago, there was a series of books. There was a TV show, which I, you know, you probably don't want to watch, called Mad Men. But the whole purpose around it, it was centered around a story about the early days when advertising really got its start. And Madison Avenue in New York City was the hub of that. And a lot of what I do day in and day out, even though it's hard for me to explain to some folks, and even sometimes, I mean, there was a point where Tamara just gave up. If people said, what does Mark do? She'd say he works for the firm. You know, she just kind of forgot about it. There are still, I think, teachers at CAC High School who think I work for the CIA, and I'm not correcting that, okay? We're going to let them feel that way. But really what I do day in and day out is I connect brands, I connect people who sell products that you use with people who need to hear that message. That's it. Now, there are 100 different ways you do that, and I'm going to leave off the end of that sentence, which is by any means possible, but I want you to understand there is something that I do day in and day out where brands really focus on reaching out to you. Let me share a number with you. $205 billion. Say it again, just to make sure you're all awake. $205 billion. Now, as much as I would love to say that that was the amount of the special missions contribution last week, that is the amount in 2017 that brands spent trying to get you to believe that they're the best. That's the amount that brands like Kraft spent trying to get you to believe that Cheesy Mac is way better than that swill from Kroger that is on the shelf next to it, which it is, by the way, all right? I mean, that is the best. That's the amount that brands spent trying to get you to believe that they can make your clothes whiter, that they can make your teeth whiter, that they can make your face look less aged, that they can make your teeth cleaner, that they can make your hair just perfect. That's how much they spent. That's how much wrapped up in that are things from companies like Crest, you know, brands like Crest, who for years, my entire life, it's been 4 out of 5 dentists surveyed recommend Crest. I don't know who that fifth dentist is, but after nearly 50 years, you would think that they changed their mind. But the challenge that these guys have is they're trying to build a brand. They're trying to make you believe that they're the best. So this morning, I want to introduce you to two guys. Two guys that I've run across in my experience and in my travels and journeys through this industry that I think are at the top of their craft. They are excellent at what they do. First guy I want to introduce you to is a guy named Tom Boyles. This is him, and that's actually his granddaughter, Mia. Tom is the Senior Vice President of customer managed relationships for all of Disney's parks and resorts worldwide. Okay? He's got a lot to do. And I've had the pleasure over the years of working with his team. Now, you need to understand, only someone like that could let little Mia go into Disney World. You know what the problem with this picture is, don't you? There are no people in it. It's good to be the granddaughter of the king, isn't it? She gets to go to the park when we don't get to go to the park. Well, Tom's team really focuses on making sure that Disney provides you everything you want, that they make good on their brand promise that they are going to give you magic, happiness, joy, safety. I mean, they are focused on that. Tom is relentless about it. These guys have figured out that for any one park guest, there are just over 13 billion combinations of options that that park guest could fall into across Disney World. not to mention Disneyland. These people figure out everything you're going to do before you do it. And then you put the wristband on happily and they track you everywhere you go. It is a beautiful, beautiful thing, but we walk out of it and say, that was magical. Now we walk out of it because my family goes hard at Disney and we're like, we need to go take a vacation because we've been running all week long. Here's the thing about Tom. Tom is a great guy to work with, but if you want to get him mad, you do something that puts his brand at risk. Because he is relentless. He will not allow the Disney name to show up on any website that is even questionable. Definitely no adult websites, not on any gun websites, not on any two political websites. I mean, anything like that where it could be controversial at all, his brand doesn't go there. And if you want to lose his business, you start putting the Disney label there. Tom is great at what he does. Let me introduce you to another guy. This guy is named Mark Pritchard. Now, I don't work as closely with Mark as I did with Tom. In fact, if you ask Mark, you'd say, hey, do you know Mark Hodges? He'd go, get out of my office. I mean, you know, I work with his team, and I've been around him a few times, but he is the chief marketing officer of Procter & Gamble. He's got a few things to do, and he's got a few brands that he has to push. And he has started to become relentless about, we have got to change the message. We've got to restructure the message on how we sell stuff, because just putting a couple of shirts on the table that have stains on them and pouring a little detergent on them and 5 minutes later, like we believe that, one is magically gone, well, that ain't working so great anymore. So we want to make it more human. And I want to show you a couple of things that Mark has done. He spells his name wrong, by the way. He spells it with a C. But a couple of things that Mark's team has done. I'm going to show you a couple of spots that you've probably seen. One of them, the first one I'll show you, actually came out about 6 years ago. This is not this particular one, but the whole campaign came out around one of the Olympic Games. And it worked so well that they've now built up a whole category of these types of spots. They started focusing in on mothers. Take a look at this. You've probably seen it. Sponsor of moms. I mean, over 80 years of modern advertising, and it took this long for someone to come up with that. How brilliant is that? Not one scene showed your product. Not one. But somewhere, probably for a few of you, reached down into your gut and started making you think, oh, how cute. Oh, I need to wipe my eyes. I mean, I thought, you know, with Mother's Day coming up and then also with Father's Day, I'd show you one on each side of that coin. That's what they're doing, targeting females. Very different from the 50s when they would target females, you know, just trying to say, hey, you're staying at home washing clothes. They realize females actually, like, work harder than most. And so they're focusing in on that. But they've also done something 2 years ago where they brought out a series of campaigns focused around dads. And they started, the spot I'm going to show you here in a second, started on Father's Day 2 years ago. They redid one for last year. I expect they're going to do another one for this year. And it's something that they've pushed out worldwide. So they have different ethnicities in the spot, and there are a few of them where there are some subtitles. I would encourage you to keep up because the message, I think, is really, really good. They basically realized that so many of our teenagers, I believe the number's about 94% of our teenagers, consult the internet before they ask a parent on most anything. And they're trying to make people realize that they're missing out on something. Take a look at this.
Oh, donc là, être père, c'est un défi.
On se perd dans la technologie. Nous.
Aujourd'hui, tout se passe sur Internet.
Su téléphone, communicarse con sus amigos.
You know, they have the world at their fingertips.
Do your kids come to you as much as you went to your dad?
No.
So first off, I'm going to have you look at a few things on the internet.
How do I tie a tie?
¿Cómo levantar una chica cuando salir?
Hey.
¿Cómo es cosa más?
How do I fry an egg?
¿Me va a dormir?
¿Cuál es tu color favorito?
I'm gonna have you ask your dad.
¿Qué estás haciendo?
¿Qué? Le miras a los ojos.
45-242, Alexa, César Pizan.
Salga todo perfecto, ¿eh?
Sí.
It's pretty good.
Ese es un Dani mexicano, creo que sí, ¿no?
Voilà, premier adage.
So, which was better?
The better teacher must be down.
Et mon papa.
Était plus personnel sur les informations.
Savait lo que yo no entiendo.
Tus filhos são a coisa mais importante do mundo.
Je voudrais remercier mon papa.
Et tiens, tu m'as dit quoi?
Ciao.
I'll tell you. Thank you, brother. Yes. And I will encourage you to do the same thing. Don't cry. I got to tell you, that sticks in my gut because for those of us who lost our dad very, very early, it's part painful and makes me just think, you know, I wish I could have done that. I got to tell you, advertisers are sending some pretty good messages these days. They're still sending some of the same garbage, but they send some pretty good messages. Brands are really focused on you. And let me show you one other thing. This is not long, but there is also a slice of humor that a lot of advertisers try to do. Now, when we were growing up, I say we, those of us who were children of the 80s will say, you know, we would walk around hollering, where's the beef? You remember that? Now, if you don't know what that is, ask Andy Rowan, because it was Wendy's that had that one, okay? You may walk up to a teenager today, and at some point during the conversation, they're going to holler, dilly, dilly. I mean, there's all kinds of things that start to go a little bit viral. I want to show you one thing from Doritos, because Doritos is one of my favorite advertisers, especially during Super Bowl season. I won't even give you any build up to it. I'll just tell you the title of this spot is Dog Collar. Take a look.
Hey, dog.
Anti-bark collar.
If you want a Dorito, you gotta speak. Speak. Aw, oh, come on.
You're welcome. I know every dog on the planet that's ever worn one of those collars wishes they could do that, right? Listen, folks, brands matter. They matter. What's this brand? Oh, yeah, UPS. You got it. Let's take a look at another one. What is this brand? Oh, I'm so proud of you. Yes, Sesame Street. Fantastic. How about one more? What is this brand? Yeah, Lay's, you're going to dig into a bag of those here just any minute now, right? I mean, let's face it. Brands matter. And I wish you could see the looks on the faces of the five of you who are looking at me right now and saying, where is he going with this? And the other five of you who are saying, well, this isn't a gospel sermon. Well, actually, yeah, it is. It's just over part of the gospel we don't necessarily like. And for that, let's go back to our text in John 13. Now, what I want to do is I want to give you a little bit of buildup to this before we actually look at the two verses out of this passage that matter today. The start of John 13 opens up with the last night of Jesus' life, and he comes in and he washes his disciples' feet, and Peter does his whole Peter's dumb thing. He's like, oh, you're not washing my feet. And Jesus says, hey, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have any part of me. Oh, well, then wash my head and my hands as well. I mean, Peter's just all over the place. And Jesus finishes washing their feet. He goes through the whole discussion about Judas. And finally that ends with, hey, what you're going to do, go and do it quickly. And then he starts to tell the rest of his disciples after Judas leaves, hey, the time's come. In fact, I'm about to go someplace where you can't go. And nestled in the middle of this whole scene are two verses where Jesus gives us our brand. Take a look at these verses, because Jesus comes out in verse 34 and he says, here's a new command. Now that's a little different for Jesus, because typically in the New Testament, he wasn't saying, hey, here's a new command and here's another new one. He was more prone to say, you've heard it said about this, but I'm telling you, do this. Or I'm telling you, if you do even this, you've done more than what that command was about. And Jesus comes out and he says, here's a new command. Love each other. And then he makes it a little harder. He says, as I have loved you, that's how I want you to love each other. And here we go, folks. Here comes the brand. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples, if you love each other. Did you catch it? Did you catch the brand? Because the disciples didn't. You keep reading through John 13, and Peter inserts himself right back into the story. You've got the creator of the world saying, here's a new command. He lays it out, and Peter says, what's this about you're going somewhere where we can't go? It's like I'm talking to my children sometimes. I'm telling you this, hey, do this. Well, I want to talk about this thing you were talking about before. And they totally miss it. Just like we have. There are two things I want you to get today, and they're pretty simple. The first one is, our brand is love. Our brand that Jesus gave us is love. If you notice in verse 35 of John 13, he could have said anything. Let's not forget, this is the God of Leviticus we're talking about here, okay? He could have been very specific about a whole lot of points. He said, Here's the new command, love each other, and that's how the world is going to know that you follow me. He could have said anything. Have three assemblies a week, and that's how the world is going to know. Nope, didn't do that. Take communion every Sunday, and that's how the world is... Nope, didn't do it. Sing a cappella, and that is how the world... No, he could have, but he said something that was harder. You love each other, because that's the world, the way the world is going to know. For decades, we have built up our list, and here are all the ways that the world's going to know that we really follow Jesus. And sadly, a lot of times, love isn't on that list. Love is our brand. Love is what Jesus told us to do. And that is not easy, especially when you may be sitting on a pew with someone. If you look three people down and think, you know what? I'm still hacked about what they did to me 2 years ago. I still get mad when I see that person in the store. Love is not easy. But maybe when we really tune into it, maybe that is why we are compelled by love. Because it comes from somewhere else. First big thing, love is our brand. Our brand is love. The second thing is, to me it's simple, but I want to illustrate it for you. The second thing is that outside forces can negatively affect the brand. Now let me illustrate this for you. Back on September 28th, 1982, I'm sorry, September 29th, 1982. I don't know if you remember what you were doing. Mary Kellerman was a junior high student in Chicago. She got up, she was not feeling too well. Her parents decided to keep her home from school. They gave her some medicine, they sent her to bed. About that same time, a guy named Adam Janis was not feeling too well, and a few hours later, he ended up in the hospital. By the end of the day, Mary and Adam would be dead. Adam's brother, Stanley Janis, and his wife, Teresa, were so broken up over Adam's passing that a couple of days later, while they were mourning him, they died. And before it was all said and done with, seven people, including Mary McFarland, Paula Prince, and Mary Reiner, would die in the Chicago area. And the only common theme was they all took extra strength Tylenol. Now, I don't know if you remember this, but there was a period of time when extra strength Tylenol capsules ended up being laced with potassium cyanide, and it caused a nationwide panic. On September 29th of 1982, Tylenol held 33% of the market share for over-the-counter painkillers. By October 3rd, they had 3% of the market share. Over 100 million bottles destroyed. Now, my mother, never one prone to understatement, I'll just leave it at that. She's not in here, so I can say it. Made a big production of ripping all of the painkillers out of our house. You know, well, if it's Tylenol, it could be Buffrin. And she's like throwing stuff away. And, you know, for like weeks, Mom, I've got a headache. Well, just deal with it. You know, I mean, that's kind of what it was like in my house. There was a panic over this. And the parent company of Tylenol, Johnson & Johnson, neither they nor anyone who worked for Tylenol had anything to do with it. Some outside force, a person who they still are not convinced that they ever caught, they had someone try and make some money off the thing that they arrested, but that wasn't the guy. Some outside force impacted the brand and cost them millions of dollars. And then Johnson & Johnson did something pretty cool. They went back and looked at the roots of their brand, which basically amounted to a couple of words, trust and safety. And any of you who've used their baby products or whatever, you typically have trusted them. They play off that in commercials. And they went back to the drawing board and said, we've got to regain trust. Now, you may, if you're younger, you don't even, it's commonplace to you, but back in the day, you could open up a box, pop the bottle out, peel the lid off, and go. And when I say peel the lid off, just pop it off. Today, it is an 8-minute ordeal to find the perforation on the clear plastic thing that shrink wrapped on the lid and peel that off. And then for us adults to try and figure out the child guard cap. And then once we get past that, there's foil inside. They saved themselves because they remembered who they were. Now friends, I don't have to tell you who the outside force is that negatively affects our brand, do I? He laughs at us every time we fight in our churches. He laughs at us every time we have rifts or disagreements or all of this mess that we can't settle, that we can't deal with in a Christian way. He laughs at us every time we carry a grudge. He laughs at us over all of that stuff. And God in heaven weeps over a church that sometimes grows more fragmented every day. Friends, listen, there's a reason why Jesus gave us love as a brand. It is because it is the only way that the world's going to see that there's anything different about us. Because if we can love each other, that is very anti-worldly. That is very different from what most people do in society today. I'm going to beg you this morning to think about love as our brand, and I'm just going to ask you a question as we wrap up. How you doing with that? With me, not so great all the time. How you doing with loving each other, and not just loving each other, but loving each other as Jesus loved us? Oh, that's the hard part. But I can promise you that our big list of things that we want to use to define us gets pretty small when we start following that teaching of Jesus. Because the world will know that He is who we follow if we will love each other. Now this morning, we're going to sing a song here in just a moment. And every week in services where we, any service where we have shepherds available, we're going to have us standing in the aisles. It's not because the singing's better in the aisles, okay? I mean, we can actually see some of you who aren't singing a little better. But we actually want to be near you, and we want to pray with you. We want to do anything we can to grow our brand of love and to get closer to the Christ. And so this morning, just like we do every week, we're going to have shepherds standing in the aisles. And here's the thing. If you want to walk up to one of them and just pray with them right there, great. If you want to get two or three of them and go pray somewhere else, great. Or if you want us to walk down here with you because you got something you need the prayers of this whole body for, absolutely. Because that is the kind of love we want to share. And if you've been thinking that's the kind of God you want to serve and you've been running from Him, wouldn't it be a great day for you to identify with Him, be buried with Him in baptism? Whatever your need this morning, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.